Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, everyone. Welcome. It is the Uncensored Match Build-Up Show. We are back after the awful, awful, awful international break of doom and death and injury. We will talk about that and what that means for Liverpool's potential side a little bit later on in the show. But anyway, I am Paul Machin, Steve Hoare and John Machin join me in the studio for this one. Yes, what promises to be a good show ahead of a very, very interesting and potentially very exciting game of football. Steve, Arsenal, let's chat a little bit about them. I think the idea, and in fact it was something you said just before we started, that this notion that they're crap has been a little bit over-egged, I think. I think the notion that they are dead and buried and awful and are going to finish mid-table has been somewhat of an exaggeration.
Yeah, I've done a bit of research this morning.
Looked at the league table, did you?
A little bit, and the form table more so. And I've kind of not paid that much attention to them. I've seen games where they played and stuff, but... And I've obviously been keeping up to date with a few of the players who've been performing well and stuff, but they haven't lost since Man City beat them in August. And that was a bit of a car crash of a game, to be honest. I think Granit Xhaka got sent off, didn't he, in that one? It was like he tends to do. Mm-hmm. But like since then, they haven't lost. Like they've been winning, they've had a couple of draws, but they're probably the form team in the Premier League at the minute. I mean, you get this thing, it's in the back of your head, in your psyche, when Arsenal arrive at Anfield... It invariably ends with them getting smashed off the park.
Yeah,
because more often than not, in the recent past, that's what we've done to them. But I think a different Arsenal are turning up. They're a more resolute, more solid Arsenal. Mm-hmm. I always think of them. I always label them as a bit soft, a bit easy to play against. Or when the chips are down, Arsenal crumble. But under Mikel Arteta, they haven't done that. Well, more so since he got his signings in,
yeah,
and he's got the defence sorted and he's changed his goalie. They're a solid. They're a very solid, boring-ish team that just deliver result after result after result. So it's a harder home game against Arsenal than we've had probably for 3-4 seasons.
Yeah, I totally agree with all of that. Dad, is that I think people have enjoyed Arsenal being not as good as they were for that long spell of time and what have you. But and they obviously did. They had a really, really tough start to the season, and everyone thought, "Ha, well, this is the demise of Arsenal." Right. But it wasn't quite as cut and dry.
Didn't they lose 6 on the bounce or something? And now they've gone 10 games unbeaten. So it's quite a change, isn't it? I mean, I think we all thought once Arteta was there that he wasn't going to survive very long because of the start he had. It didn't seem to work at all. But now he's been there 100 games.
Yeah,
you know, and he's settled in, and things are starting to tick over. I mean, you have to take it with a bit of a pinch of salt because they played Leicester, but apart from that, not really too much in that 10-game run. I mean, before that, they'd played Chelsea and City and lost them both.
Yeah.
So, I think it's probably a test for them. I think they'll probably see it as a test for themselves. You know, are we really, you know, have we really turned the corner and are we competing now with the best? Or was that a bit of a flash in the pan against middle-of-the-road teams?
Yeah.
And, you know, so they'll come in this game really wanting to do well.
It's there's just such a mad proposition for me, because I looking at the league table, as mentioned, the fifth, they're only 2 points behind us, which was shocking. That was one of the shocking revelations of doing the preparation for this week. They got a 0 goal difference, which is always pretty telling as to where the side ends up. It's my dad's theory, not mine, so I can't attest to claim that one. But they've conceded, they've only scored 13, which is big, only 13 goals and 11, but they've only conceded 13, so that's actually two more than us. But 9 of those came in the first 3 games of the season. So since that 3-game run, they've only conceded 4, which I think to Steve's point, Dad, it's a test that is that these are not necessarily the Arsenal that are going to get the floor, you know, are going to get the floor wiped with them.
No, I mean, they've got, as Steve said, he's got a good goalkeeper now. Yeah. And that's, as we know, that's a big deal, you know, if you get a good goalkeeper, and he's settled his defence down. And he's there, it does allow the flair players, the young players he's got in the side, to actually play their game, you know. And they're all really tricky football. And you have to look at it and wonder why the hell they haven't scored more goals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they've suddenly found a way to get Aubameyang and Lacazette on the pitch at the same time, mm-hmm. which no one's been able to do before. So, you know, really, you think they'd be scoring more, but somehow it doesn't quite work.
They're almost a throwback Arsenal, so they've got the back four sorted and the goal. Like, I'll be honest, I never rated Ramsdale. I thought he was rubbish when I've seen him in the past. I thought he was a poor goalie, but maybe he was just because he was playing for crap teams. Like, he's playing for a better team with a better defence, and he looks like an amazing goalie. He just played for England the other day, and, you know, everyone's talking about the saves he's made in recent weeks, the Leicester saves and stuff. The left back is it Tavares, and then the right back, Tomiyasu.
Mm-hmm.
I think Tomiyasu especially has made a huge difference, because
yep.
you can't just get around the side of Arsenal. Like, it was easy to do. It was just too easy to play around the side of, like, it was
Bellerin.
Yeah, and even Tierney as well. I know he's back playing now as well, but your Bellerins and your Cedrics, I was like, they're not good enough, they're crap. But like, they've sorted that out. Ben White looked like a completely different player. I'm just looking at, with obviously his partner and Gabriel, they've gone back to a back four again. They were tinkering with a three at times and stuff.
Well, we've come up against them with, like, Tierney is left of a three, yeah. You know, and that's given us issues in the past. But you're right, it seems like they've hit upon something that's working for them.
Definitely, I say four goals since that nine that they were getting tongued in. You know, they were bottom of the league, and Arteta was under pressure. He was on the brink of getting sacked by all accounts. So they've been really good. But the thing that gives me hope going into this is the first thing you mentioned is the lack of goals they've got. Like, We score regular goals, like twos and threes is the norm for Liverpool. It's not for them. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. Like, it's weird because they've got goal scorers. So Aubameyang, Lacazette, Saka, Smith Rowe, they've got a goal threat in them. But Arsenal as a collective don't tend to score loads. Where we score, you know, we're scoring more than we ever have.
Yeah,
it's like, you know, we're averaging like three a game, ridiculous, two, three a game. So that's what gives me some hope, is that can they keep up with us? If we're Liverpool and we can do what we've done to everyone, and granted, I know their defence is good, but Man City's defence was good and we still scored two past them.
Yeah,
that's what gives me hope.
The thing for me in this game, why it's a massive game, and it always is against Arsenal, that, you know, against two historically massive clubs in this division, but them being the points they are behind us, we did this on the podcast this week where I said people can look ahead to the festive period all they want, but actually the next three games are going to really define what Liverpool, I think, are going to define what Liverpool are fighting for, is whether we're fighting for the title. Now, that's not to say the title can be totally written off in the next three games, but it's a lose to West Ham, and if you then lose to Arsenal, you're laying down a marker that feels very top four battle, not title challenge. Yeah. Whereas if you can go and get points against these, you've got Southampton, you've got Everton, you know, you've got a couple of really big games in there and a winnable one against Southampton,
yeah,
you should at least be at a net results will be exactly where you entered, yeah, this period.
That sort of view, though, is a product of getting beat by West Ham, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, yeah.
Before
oh,
we
absolutely.
Got beat by West Ham, we'd be thinking, oh, we're going to roll over Arsenal, you know, we're on our way to the title, we're going to take up the next three games, no big deal. Suddenly, getting beat and dropping below West Ham, everyone's going, oh, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
These games are a bit tough. You know, we're not just going to walk over everyone.
And yeah. Brighton as well.
I yeah,
Brighton,
true. Yeah. But the West Ham in that regard, well, yeah, absolutely. The West Ham game, I think, serves as a great warning in that regard, because that'll happen again. If Arsenal beat us, Arsenal go above us. And that's the point. If this side are to have the pretension to be entitled challengers, and I think they should, they're every right to, on paper, but you've actually got to go and make sure you deliver. And I think the fact that we are through in the Champions League stage makes a big difference, because I think the Porto games, you know, and obviously AC Milan to follow are nowhere near as, like, you've got to pour all your efforts and energies into them. They can very much focus on these. It's the next four games actually, before AC Milan.
It's a massive game. This is a huge game. I think if Liverpool lose this game, and then you see Chelsea get a victory or City get a win and stuff, and I know they're due to play each other soon as well, but. That's a big gap already. Like, if we were 8 points clear of a team, I'd be thinking that's going to be hard for them to catch. So we can't really be getting to the stage where we're dropping too far behind. Like I say, the West Ham game I get, but I think it's actually the Brighton game that gives me more cause for concern, because that was at home. And I could see us going 2-0 up against Arsenal and then seeing if they mount to come back. That's not beyond the realm of possibility. I think a few teams might go to West Ham and lose. I think they're a good side and away from home and things like that. It's the Brighton home game. Like, Anfield's got to be forced to Anfield. And it really, that Brighton game, it was anything but. Like, the best team with the opposition. We can't be having that. And like I say, Arsenal are never going to come to Anfield with a better, full of more confidence, like, we can go and win. So we're facing a Liverpool team that's licking its wounds a bit, and we haven't lost a game since August, and we're on a big, great run. No one scoring past us. They're going to come in full of beans. That's why it's dangerous. Mm-hmm. Like, if that could play into our hands, in that, like, they're overconfident, but I don't think they will. I don't think they're the flaky Arsenal. Like, if we go two up against them in the past, I think, oh, we're going to score five, and we did. Like, now I don't. Like, I think they're a bit more solid, a bit more resolute.
Yeah, look, I'm being a bit like, I'm being cautious on this one. I'm talking it out from both sides. What you were kind of alluding to there, that was spot on, really. We absolutely demolished Atletico Madrid.
Yeah.
This is the same team, all these things. It's still the same. It's plenty of reasons to be positive. See, it's just, you know, having talked through those notes of caution, there's every chance we do just beat Arsenal.
We lost to West Ham in very strange circumstances. And teams don't play like that against us normally. They don't have the ability to throw corners under the crossbar and stuff. And Arsenal certainly don't have that. So I'm not actually worried about losing the game. Mm-hmm. I think Steve's right, though. Drawing has become a problem.
Yeah.
You know, and although, you know, we got beat by Brighton last year at home, and this year we got a point off them. Same with City. Mm-hmm. They beat us, we got a point off them. The draws are not as damaging as they were last year, but they're still damaging, and if you carry on dropping points, you won't be anywhere near the title.
Well, the damaging whilst Chelsea and particularly Chelsea, but obviously City are still kind of chugging along a bit. You don't know how dangerous they will or won't be, because to your point, net, we're better off than last season, because we're getting more points from the corresponding fixtures that we did last year, so we're ahead of the curve still. The problem is, I don't know where to judge it, and that's why I'm saying this next three games is massive, because I genuinely believe we'll be in a title challenge. I do. I just think we're good enough for it. But of course, flicking back to a year ago, I thought that in December last year when we went top of the league and all that kind of stuff as well. It's about you've got to earn the right to be in that, and I always contend it's not really a title challenge till April anyway. But you can be dead and buried well before then. We just need to make sure that we are in contention.
The saving grace is that the other teams, even Chelsea, have stuttered a little.
Yeah.
You know, they looked as though they were going to win every game at one point.
And right now, we feel as though, because we've just come off the back of a 97-point and a 99-point season, not discounting last year. We feel that's what's required to win the league, and the chances are it won't be.
I think like 87, 88.
Yeah, high but normal.
I mean, but Chelsea are the ones, I think. I think City have shown that they're sort of vulnerable and won't get more than 80 odd points. Chelsea possibly could, because they don't lose many games.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they don't draw many games either. So they're the ones. If they don't stutter, you know, badly at some point, then they're really going to be difficult to overhaul.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. You know, at this point of the season, the difference between us and Chelsea is we've got two more draws than them. And that's the difference. And that's, when you think of it that way, it's nothing. That's an easily, you know, sort of repairable sort of issue. But we're entering, we've done that first 10 games, which is your foundations. And I think we've put pretty good foundations in place for the season, but now is about building on, because once we get into December and it does start coming thick and fast, and of course you'd end in the festive period with a game against Chelsea as well, you've got there's every chance that we're above Chelsea by the time we're into January. We could be above them, but that's what I'm saying, it all starts this weekend. Right, we have got, I was lucky enough to sit down with Robbie Lyle, it's Don Robbie himself from Arsenal Fan TV, to get a little bit of Oppo insight from him. The full show is streaming right now on Redmen Plus, but I thought I'd pick his brain for a free clip here in the show to determine what sort of side Arsenal are going to go with. We have got a trivia question before we go, which I've remembered, well done me. What was the score the last time Mikel Arteta scored against Liverpool? Answers in the comments, and we'll be back in a few minutes' time. So talk to me about what Arsenal are likely to do here. Formation, and obviously I know we're a few days out from the game itself, but to your mind, what you think is the most likely sort of starting 11 for Arsenal?
It's kind of like almost like a 4-4-2, but it doesn't drop. It's not really a 4-4-2, but I think he'll stick with the same team that he's been playing the last few games, which is like he goes with Aubameyang and Lacazette up top. And them two have been doing very well together. And then Smith Rowe on the left-hand side. On the right-hand side, you've got Saka. And then if Partey's fit, you've got Partey and Lokonga in at midfield. And then the back four is Gabriel, who's been brilliant. He's been exceptional this season. And Ben White, the two centre-halves. And then left-back, I still think he'll stick with Nuno Tavares, who's been brilliant this season. Again, I'm going to be really interested to see if he plays, how he gets on against, you know, it's the big one. It's the Salah test. But I'm thinking if you play Tavares, he is a player, though, that can force Salah the other way, hopefully, if we get the ball, because he's very quick and likes to drive at players. And then on the right-hand side, it'd be Tomiyasu with in goal, be Ramsdale. I think he'll stick with the same team unless there's injuries. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the best 11 at the moment. Although, you know, Kieran Tierney's been injured. You'd say he'd come, but this guy Tavares has come in and has been excellent. So you can't really drop him at the moment.
Hey everyone, Mate here. Just a little insert from me to say that if you enjoy this podcast and the other podcasts that we put out for free and you want more, then my word, you can have more on the redmentv.com. Go over there, sign up and get extra bonus shows from us each and every week, as well as a whole suite of video content, documentaries, features and interviews. But yes, you can also play those podcasts in your native podcasting app as well to have a seamless Redmen TV experience in your ears. The redmentv.com. Sign up there today. Hello everyone, welcome back. Yeah, get involved with Ultimate Fan, the incredible free-to-play app. Ross was taking charge of the reins this week, but if you want to get involved, screenshot your team, send it to the Redmen TV, and we'll see how we get on against all of us, probably better. Although, just to clarify one more time, and I'll say this till the end of the season, I did actually win money at Ultimate Fan, and Ross hasn't yet, so, you know. Good on me. Also, if you want to check out that full interview with Robbie from Arsenal Fan TV, that is streaming right now on Redmen Plus. If you use the code Redmen Plus, one word, all in caps, you can get a free month trial of everything we do over there. All of our extra Redmen shows and all the documentaries, features. There was the Around the League show on Monday. There was the debate show on Wednesday. Chris Pajak is doing an Only Mo Salah stat show later on today, which is going to be very good indeed. And I'm chatting with Neil Jones to get some JNO insight, as well as that opposition preview with the aforementioned Robbie Lyle as well. I do have the trivia question. I do just need to very quickly get it up so I don't cock it up. So I'm just going to loosely draw out my sentences as long a form
you can
as
tell, you
possible.
Can, you can say the question.
I can, but I know that, but I'm not there yet either. the question was... what was the score the last time Mikel Arteta scored against Liverpool?
2-0.
Any ideas?
No idea.
Any idea what game it might have been?
Was he playing for Arsenal? Or was he playing
he
for
was
Evan?
Playing. He scored two goals against Liverpool in his career. He scored one for Everton in a 2-0 win for them at Goodison Park. He scored for Arsenal at Anfield. February. 2014.
3-3?
5-1.
I don't remember that at all. I thought it was the one where Joe Allen scored the late equaliser.
He scored the penalty, their consolation penalty after being five when they were five down.
That's nice.
I like that. I'll take that again.
Yeah. I had no idea at all.
There you go. Yeah, you got that. Yeah, well done. Well done to you.
Did anyone get that?
I never think about the fact that they scored on that day. I think very much about the fact that we absolutely annihilated them.
Suarez not scoring is remembered more fondly than Arteta actually scoring.
Yeah. Brilliant. Lewis, who's Mr. Gore, got it there. 5-1 for 2014 when we got four goals in 20 minutes. Jono, 5-1 2014. Arteta, Penno. And actually mentioned the King Jason, also Tim, Cale and Mikel Arteta scored 2-0, which was, of course, the Everton game, but not the Arsenal game. So that's incorrect for that one. But good effort nevertheless. Right, yes, let's talk Liverpool team, just in terms of the what we know fitness-wise as it stands on... Is it Thursday?
Thursday.
We know Elliott's out, even though it's good to see him doing a little bit more physical stuff in training. Milner, still a bit too soon for him, even though he's back out on the training pitch on his own. Keita will be out still for this one. Bobby still out for this one. That's going to be likely a couple more weeks at least for that one. And Curtis Jones is going to be another few weeks. He's had an operation on his eye, hasn't he? Haven't had been finger poked of doom. They reckon there's going to be no problem with that, but they're just playing it safe, which is very, very sensible indeed. And then in terms of doubts, which will lead us into our first conversation, really, Mane came off against Senegal. Henderson was sent home between the games. Divock went off as well for Belgium. And Andy Robertson adds that. Robbo is
the most likely not to play.
Is the biggest doubt of this day. Is it just a simple a point of you've got Kostas Tsimikas? I think there's a lot of people actually clamouring to see him. I don't think Robbo's been in very good form this season.
Yeah, no, it would have been justified for the manager just to pick Tsimikas anyway. Even if both were fit. So if he's 50-50 with a hamstring, just give him the week off. He does not play against Arsenal, he does not play against Porto. Just get him ready for the weekend after. So yeah, I think Tsimikas will play and should play. The midfield one's a bit more, I imagine it looks like we're edging towards Mane and Hendo playing. Mm-hmm. Like they were both in games that they probably would have played the next international game. Like Senegal didn't need to win, and obviously, you know, me and you got to play centre mid against somebody, you know, and done a job. So I think that was just the international managers maybe doing us a little bit of a favour there. And then by all accounts, Origi had a dead leg. So Roberto Martinez said afterwards, he should be fine. So it looks like it's really just the Robbo one, and then the others are going to be available, which is good news because like the injury list is growing and growing and growing. So like I say, it's the midfield, isn't it, where we're short. So it looks like, thankfully, Henderson's going to be right to play. And if so, he'll start.
Yeah, just before we move on to the midfield, though, Dad, Tsimikas, he deserves his chance. Yeah. I think he's been fantastic since pre-season.
And if you give him two games on the bounce, he certainly deserves that, I think.
Yeah.
You know, it's OK giving him the odd game here and there, but, you know, give someone two games that you can really see what they can do.
Yeah.
You know,
we haven't lost.
Robbo needs a bit of pressure behind him.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he's obviously been quite focused on Scotland. You know, quite rightly so.
He played a lot of football as a result of that as well.
So you know, fine. Let Tsimikas take the burden for a bit.
Yeah, no, I do agree with that. And you know, by all accounts, Tsimikas had a great time away with Greece as well. It was like 7 or 9 chances or something.
Yeah,
I mean, again, but you know, in terms of standards or what have you, but he looks great. He just seems to fit. I enjoy watching him play. And I thought he took a little while to get into the game the other week, but he after that first 15-20 minutes or so, I thought he was laughing. I think his delivery is better than Robertson's.
It definitely is better, and he's a better corner taker as well. Yeah. He's a really good corner taker. He's been better than Robertson this season. I don't think there's any argument to that. Doesn't mean he's a better footballer. He's just like Joel Matip's been better than Virgil van Dijk. Doesn't mean he's a better footballer. He's just been better this season. So on form, there's arguments for Tsimikas to play anyway. So again, why we can't risk Robbo playing him in this game to, and he's out for a month over Christmas, and then we're snookered. So I'm with you. Last year, you might have went, oh, we're going to have to play Robbo. We're going to have to risk him and just hope he gets through it and stuff like that. You know, he come into this season, he picked up an injury in pre-season, and I wonder how that's affected him as well. He hasn't been the same, so mm-hmm. why bother even chancing it? And like I say, we've been better when Tsimikas has played. We haven't lost. I think it's played 6-1-6 or something. Like again, you've got to bear in mind the opposition of some of those games and stuff, but the fact is, he deserves a chance anyway, and I'm more than happy with him. In fact, he's okay. There's been a lot of clamour. We done on the debate show, I think, when Ross hosted with Emma and Leanne, and it was a topic, wasn't it? Who should start?
Yeah.
Even when they're both fit. So that's the good place we're in.
He falls into that category, really, doesn't he, Dad? Where the Klopp is quite keen to talk about there's clearly a bunch of players that he thinks are good enough to play first 11 football for us, but they are underneath other lads who are just as good, if not maybe arguably slightly better, who are fit and available all the time. And Robertson's been that, and this might just be that opportunity for Tsimikas, because the other one's Taki Minamino, but I don't think this will be the game for him in that regard. But Tsimikas got his opportunity at the start of the season, and he grasped it pretty well, to the point where, as we can have this conversation.
I think there's evidence that Klopp is actually rotating his team more this season. Yeah. You know, he's leaving Matip out occasionally, and you know, he's left Robbo on the bench a couple of times. So, yeah, I think it's only right that you do. And we've got a player in Tsimikas who doesn't, there's no drop-off in the left back position if you play him. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like some of the midfield players. You know, if you bring them in, there's not a lot of difference between any of them.
I mean, it's a big test for him though. He's going to go up against Saka. You know, he'll be playing inverted on that far side up against them. That will probably be his most difficult test of the season. But to the point, he's got the opposition half thing quite well boxed. I'm quite interested to see how he handles a complete sort of game when he does have to be a bit more compact.
The obverse of that is that Saka will be less difficult because he's got Tsimikas sorting the left side out and going forward and creating chances.
But it's an interesting point, isn't it? Now, it makes you wonder how Arteta will approach it. Something I brought up talking to Robbie, you think back to the Charity Shield where they played Aubameyang really high and wide on that left-hand side, and it'd be interesting to see whether they're brave enough to commit.
Everyone seems to do that against us, don't
they? Yeah, but it'd be interesting to see whether they're brave enough to commit Saka that high up the pitch, or are they brave enough to commit Smith Rowe on the other side up that high to try and challenge our fullbacks a bit? But that's obviously a conundrum for them more than anything else. The midfield then. So if Henderson is fit to start, because I had this, like, Liverpool have got a midfield injury crisis at the moment, as we've mentioned. No Milner, no Keita, no Jones, no Elliott.
Four of the eight are gone.
Yeah. But if Henderson is fit to start, it still leaves us with a potential starting midfield three of Fabinho, Thiago and Jordan Henderson.
Probably our best midfield three.
And that's one thing that's quite exciting about that. I want to see that midfield. That's the midfield. Thiago's back now. He's got some minutes under his belt. He's had an international break as well to get himself straight. He needs to put a run of games down now because I think we were at our best version at the back end of last season. You know, he was a massive help to the cause. I feel a bit indifferent towards Thiago. I keep finding myself not being like negative about him. He just doesn't feel like a Liverpool player. He's been a Liverpool player for over a year because I've seen him play in the flesh for about 15 minutes. He doesn't feel like a proper Liverpool player. This is his chance. He's got to start putting this run.
Yeah, and he's got to be better than he was against West Ham. He was absolutely dreadful when he came against West Ham, so he needs to book his ideas. He was really bad. I mean, the whole team were crap, but he was awful. Yeah. He got brought on to try and control a game and get it on the front foot, and he just kept giving them the ball. So I agree. I think on paper, like going into the season, I thought that's our best midfield, that thing that you've mentioned. I don't know if Jürgen thought the same. We don't really know, because obviously he was dropping Harvey Elliott in from very early on as well. But again, there was injury concerns and stuff. So I agree, I'm with you. I think that is our best midfield three. It looks like we're edging towards Henderson playing. If he's in training on the Wednesday and Thursday, for a Saturday game, you think he should be fine.
And it's Hendo.
He'll just want to play this game.
He's in great form as well. I mean, he was terrific for England.
Yep.
Absolutely terrific when he played.
He was good. And he was rubbish for us, I thought, actually. I thought he was pretty poor in the Brighton game and in the West Ham game. But yeah, that's our best team on paper, our best midfield three. We're actually not miles away from having our best 11 fit, I think. It's only really that Robertson left back, and again, there's an argument to be made this season if that's even the case. But
I know you can. Are we making
Bobby, the case Bobby, Bobby Jota? Jota. I always edge towards Jota anyway. But yeah, I think is our best 11. We're not miles away, so it's just what's behind it, and I suppose that's the worry and stuff. Like, you're looking at your bench for options, and there's not going to be a lot there. So Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain's going to probably come on at some point in this game, and you know, you're looking at your forward option. It's Origi and Tacky. That's where the injuries
are. Minamino, isn't it? You know, you're going to need him if he needs a change up front.
Yeah. That's the thing. Is that the 11's actually all right. It's those injuries have cost us our depth almost, and that's where the issue is. The bench isn't going to be particularly great.
Yeah, well, I mean, it will, won't it? You know, unfortunately, and it's. I mean, the other one is an option that we've got because of we're kind of. If there's no, well, there's no Bobby, so you know the front three is going to be the front three.
If Mane's right.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know that he'll prefer Henderson over Oxlade-Chamberlain, given the choice. But you know what that would prefer. In centre-back, Dad, what do you reckon? Canate? Because Matip's been great, but you know, we've had this debate a week or so ago whether is there just going to come a time where Canate just plays these games.
Well, I mean, it does very much look like it's Gomez understudying Virgil, doesn't it? And Matip being understudied by Canate, even though Gomez is probably still better than Konaté.
Yeah.
But a game, there are certain games when you play your best team, you know, and Arsenal's one of them.
Yeah.
So I would expect Matip to play.
Yeah, that's what I have, 100%. And Konaté, I think he played at United for the Ronaldo factor. Big, mm-hmm. strong pace, good United, big team. If anything, he probably should have played against West Ham in hindsight,
yeah.
for the ability of for the corners, yeah. and stuff. But it's 2020 and all that. But I think Matip's first choice for me at the moment anyway. He's playing better than Virgil. Obviously not Virgil has to play, I get that. But like Matip's been fine. Mm-hmm. He wasn't amazing against West Ham. There was probably one or two moments where he looked a bit iffy, but the whole team was pretty shite.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
They, I think the only, I think that like, Ox might play though. It's whether he wants to start three injury doubt. You know, Fabinho's fine, looks like he's back, he's played for Brazil and stuff, he's fine. Thiago's had a long layoff now and he's been on international, he had a break. Henderson's come back from injury. Does he want to go all three of them? Or does he want to have Chamberlain, who we know's fit, ready to go? He's been here for 2 weeks. That's the only thing he might fancy, just giving Ox a go for any. I mean, Fabinho will play, so. Does he play Endo? Does he play Thiago? I don't know. But I wouldn't rule Chamberlain out. I wouldn't pick him, but I wouldn't be at all surprised if he's in the 11.
Yeah, Chris Pajak asserted last time after the break that he always tends to play in people who've been around while the break's been on. And Henderson has only been there in the last few days and he's been in treatment.
Yeah.
So there's an argument there that, you know, Ox will play.
It's just that thing of... I mean, to be fair...
I'd like them to, first of all, to get control of the game.
Yeah.
You know, so Thiago and Henderson and Fabinho. And then once you've got control of the game, maybe then Ox could come up. I mean,
you could make a case, though, you know, if you've got Fabinho and Thiago, there's more than enough there to control a midfield, you'd hope. And Oxlade-Chamberlain, having had a run of games, like, he was tremendous against Atletico. He was okay against West Ham, you know. But it's a big... There's a big motivation there for him, least of all the fact, you know, that it's Arsenal.
Particularly,
you know,
if he can get a game in midweek as well, and then he's starting to get games under his belt, which is what's been his problem.
Yeah. I mean, that this is what you need from Ox. You need, obviously, we want more Atletico-like performances, but minimum expectation is I want 7s out of 10 from Ox for a bit, just to be, so you know that if you can drop him in, you're not losing anything from your side. It's just a psychological battle for him, you know, going up against Arsenal. And, you know, there's been one of the things I was also talking to Robbie about was the links with him being linked back to a move back to Arsenal, which I think would be a mad sort of step for him. I think he's either going to be commit to being a Liverpool squad player for the coming years, or he'll end up at a Newcastle or a West Ham or whatever. But I don't think he's ever conclusively proven himself, particularly in the, you know, it'd be nice for him to go up against Arsenal, go and put in a big game, big performance, and, you know what I mean, just to kill off any sort of lingering doubts.
I think now's the first time since his first injury that he's looked to be back fit. Yeah. So now's his time, really.
I think he, again, I don't think he plays if there's no doubt about it. If the other three are 100%, the fitness staff say they're cleared, they can give you a 90 and you're fine to play them, that's when Ocker won't play. It's where if they come and say Henderson's 80% and Thiago's 80%, so do you want to take a risk on one or both, or do you want that? That's where it becomes a thing where one gets an hour, one gets half an hour. That's where Chamberlain plays. But it was weird with him because he's so inconsistent, and that's what drives me crazy about him. Like, his average rating over a season might be 6 or 7, but it goes, you know, 2, 2, 9, 9, 2, 2. If you get Ox in Madrid or Ox for the first 15 minutes when he comes off the bench against Brighton, you're fine. If you get Ox that plays the rest of the Brighton game or the West Ham game, it's like, that's the worry with him. But I think he's going to start. I think he will. I don't think the manager will go with both of them.
Again, you're right. Without being fully privy to the health and fitness of all the lads who are available, there is just the Porto game Wednesday that's a thing of that. It's a game you don't need to win anymore.
Tyler Morton FC.
But it is right. But Tyler Morton FC, great. But you've still got two of the midfield slots to fill alongside them. And do you want to put, you know, I suppose it's down to overall fitness. If Jordan Henderson's 100% by Wednesday, then it's not actually a problem playing him Wednesday and then the following weekend. But is there a consideration where they're like, we want Ox to play midweek because we don't want one of the other lads to play, and therefore do you need to just? I don't know. But I don't think we haven't
got the numbers to consider that.
We just got to play.
We can't think about Wednesday or Tuesday.
And having lost the last game, you really need to win this.
Exactly. And we haven't got the players. We can't be picking and choosing because they're not there. There's no one. You can't rotate them. Like, hopefully, you're hoping that Milner might be back to give him a little run out on the hamstring before he has to play competitive games and things. But like I say, I think the first.
We've just referred to a Champions League group stage as effectively not a competitive game.
Well, it isn't.
The
only name who's guaranteed to play in Porto, I think, is Tyler Morton. Like, I think his name is on the team. Everything else is up for grabs.
Yeah.
Kelleher, maybe, I don't know, but like that's.
Yeah, is that permanent marker on the whiteboard?
That's in. That's the worry that we've got. I don't think we can afford it. I just think, personally, given the fitness doubts over Henderson, Thiago, to play 90, that maybe that's why he goes with Ox.
But I don't think either of them are going to play 90 minutes.
And that's the thing. Again, Chamberlain's there as your sub, but I wonder if he splits those two in the game. So he's always got Henderson or Thiago on the pitch.
The only issue, it just occurred to me while we were talking about it, is we've had this sort of soft underbelly, so to speak, where we've not been able to shut games down. And I wonder whether you're better off starting Ox, so that you've got one of Henderson or Thiago to come in. Now, again, the Thiago thing doesn't necessarily always work, but keep Henderson back for that, so that when you're going, right, okay, we've done really well here with two goals up against Arsenal, I wouldn't want to be forced into an Oxlade-Chamberlain substitution with half an hour of a game to go when you're looking to not concede.
To manage it better.
This midfield fitness battle.
Tyler Morton on for the last few minutes, 15.
Yeah, why not?
This midfield, it's a worry. It's an issue. Like, we haven't got the. Listen, people talk about squad depth and stuff. We had 8 midfielders, so it's like one of those that I still think the Wijnaldum thing was a mistake, and he probably more than likely would have been fifth for this one. Mm-hmm. And the issue we've got with midfield, mate, is that literally every one of them is injury prone. Yeah. There's 8 of them, and they're all injury prone. Every single one of them. Curtis Jones, maybe that's unfair. On actually, he got poked. It's nothing to do with him. But like the rest of them have always got little muscle twinges or strains.
Javi Elliott's not injury prone.
It depends. Yeah, but I didn't really count him.
Well, if you're going to very specifically say all of them stay, then I'm going to very specifically say that's horseshit.
Okay, the senior options, the 6 senior options. You are right to reference. I'm still getting my head around Elliott being a midfielder, but the senior options. It's weird that the fittest one at the moment is Oxlade-Chamberlain. Like, he's touchwood again. He's the only one who hasn't been injured in the last year.
But he's another one. I think we talk about him being injury prone, but he's been unlucky. You know,
injury prone is when you step on a rake and it bashes you in the head and you can't play.
Well, is or it isn't, though? Because that's Chris Kirkland injury prone, which I don't think is injury prone.
Is a major injuries, aren't they? Which, you know, are career threatening.
Yeah.
You know, same as Gomez. Gomez injury never gets a little niggle.
Yeah.
He gets, you know, a light
Keita's injury prone. Keita's the one where he gets the muscle.
Keita is injury prone. Yeah. Like Daniel Sturridge was injury prone. It's the small muscle injuries that keep you out for three or four games and then you're back for a handful and then you're out. Matip, same, you know, it's astonishing. He's played more games this season than he played last season already. You know, that's an interesting thing in that regard. But the problem is, of course, is that international tournaments in the summer always lead to further injuries as the seasons progress, and the fact that Jordan Henderson in particular is one, and Thiago was not right and had to go out and be there for the Euros as well, as a thing to keep an eye on.
Can I ask you a question?
Go on.
I know you don't really get this often. If Mane isn't fit, who's starting in the front three?
He will start Divock Origi. I think he should start Taki Minamino.
Okay. Origi on the left or Jota on the left?
I think he will start Jota on the left and
Divock up front.
Okay. Because we've seen that more often. We've played that a couple of times this season and it's been okay. I would be looking at it and going, Taki's actually had a few more minutes recently. I think he just needs to get on the pitch. And you've bought him for that. If you've got Jota, Jota's a better centre-forward option. You can play Taki from the left. I wouldn't be asked
They'd
for
play
Taki.
Taki as a false nine.
Could, yeah, it could do, but we keep talking about this, but he never does it. You know, it's
now's his chance.
Yeah, but I think he's good from the left. You know, he has that. He's got a bit of what Jota's got. He's very good at arriving centrally, like you know, and he's very cool and composed when he gets in those positions.
More than Origi in recent times, hasn't he?
I don't know. You know, I would go Origi.
The good thing is about this, because we're very down on our squad options sometimes. What I'm glad for Divock is, I think he's shown us that we've at the very least we've got 18-19 Divock back.
Someone who can kick the ball in the goal.
Someone who would just come on the pitch and score a goal for you.
Scored a very good goal against West Ham.
That's why I like him in central. Yeah. Because I think he runs up blind alleys when he's on the left. Whereas if he's central, he's much more focused.
I think that's
the reason. Again, Touchwood, Mane's fit, but if Mane can't start, I would do what you said, Origi up front.
Yeah, he just feels a bit too break glass for me as a centre forward, is my only issue with it. And I know he could argue the same for the left. I think he does the wide job quite well, because I think he's quite comfortable going outside as well as cutting in. He's not a one trick pony. We've had countless of them over the years. I think like Ryan Babel, Phil Coutinho, actually to some extent was a bit like that. Divock will just play the role. He doesn't necessarily play it brilliantly, but he will wait until the opportunity presents itself to do the cut inside and have a go in the far corner. His goal return's actually
unfair on him, but I always feel he plays for himself and not for the team.
Mm.
You know, when he gets the ball at his feet, he wants to beat people to show that he can beat people. You know? That's just the impression I get from him. You know?
I was looking at he's got a good. I remember the overhead against Arsenal. I was looking back. He has got goals against Arsenal in his history as well. My worry, I'm more down on Taki Minamino than you are. I don't think as highly, I think, as other people do. And maybe that's just a me thing, and I'll own it. It's fine. But my worry would be, I think a forward line, Minamino, Jota, Salah, it's all right. I think what you said, it might suit the team better, but I think there's more goals in an Origi, Jota, Salah front three, because Origi will just do nothing all game and then just score a scorpion kick or something mental. Sure. You know, like that's the thing. Sure. Taki's probably is all round play is probably a bit more conducive to how Liverpool want to play.
Is Tomiyasu a Japanese international? I actually don't know. I don't know this, because there could be something to that. You know, they'll know from international footy, and there might just be something to that. You know, they'll have played against each other. He'll have a clearer idea of who he is as a footballer. Have you got the better of him in training for Japan? I have actually, boss.
What's his weakness?
Yeah. Just as one of those random thoughts. I'm sure someone at Liverpool will have had that conversation, of course. But I the Taki Minamino stuff, man. I think he's a smart player.
Yeah, sure.
But we could just do with a bit more evidence of that. And to be fair to him, you know, he's taken his opportunities as well. His opportunities have just been a bit more sparing than Divock. Divock's got that AC Milan Champions League game under his belt where he starts at Anfield and you go, oh, wow, go ahead. You know, whereas Taki's still very much been a League Cup and then been thrown on in midfield for the last 5 minutes of games.
Thrown on to Southampton.
But yeah, he has got that game coming up next week as well. I'm going to try and put him in the shop window regardless. But yeah, it's a very interesting one. Very interesting indeed. And yeah, let us know your thoughts to any of the questions that we've asked there. We will have a look at the other fixtures going on this weekend, but we did have a super chat that came in from Trig Josh. So, Steve, I enjoyed the clip you did showing us around the studio. More stuff like that, please.
I don't know how much more. I mean, I've done it now. Like, yeah. What else?
Go around the car park.
Go the outside. Yeah.
I can. What I'll do at every lunchtime, I go for a walk to the co-op. Maybe I film the walk to the co-op.
Mm.
Maybe
that's weird.
I mean, that what else can I do? I mean, Trig Josh, let us know what you want to see, and then I'll do my best to see it. Yeah. I mean, the production staff in me like, no, we've got enough on.
Maybe he wants you to do it on different days to see if it's any different.
I mean, it's not.
They go different shows, different
people
things.
Wearing the same clothes.
Yeah.
We sleep here. We never leave.
Yeah, if you haven't checked that out, it's on the YouTube channel right now. Steve,
I enjoyed doing that.
Yeah,
it was fun.
Did. Yeah. I mean, there was a point where
I messed everything up.
You did completely forget who we were playing at the weekend
and call Chris Piss,
and they called Chris Piss Pajak.
Other than that, it was perfect.
Right, let's have a little look then at the weekend's fixtures. So early kickoff, big one, Saturday, 12:30, Leicester host Chelsea.
We're hoping for a favour there, aren't we?
Really big time. I mean, the problem with Leicester is I don't really know where they're at. Dad, it felt like they'd turned the corner, and then Arsenal going.
They're so up and down.
Yeah, Arsenal went and got a quite a good win against them.
I mean, the
as
thing
well.
About Chelsea is they don't concede a lot of goals, and they're always good for one, if nothing else. So it's a question of whether Leicester can break them down and get their own goal, in which case it's game on then.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. But that's to the point we were making about this run of fixtures. That's a losable game for Chelsea, and that's got all the archetypes of we need to see some chinks in the armour for our rivals. That's a game that you've got sort of circled in the calendar, really, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Cause I don't know what Leicester are so inconsistent this year. It's just if nothing else, what I've always talked about in the last few years is that they've always been really good until like May, April, and then they've been a bit crap. But like this year, they're so up and down. They look like they were on a good run. They were doing well, and then Arsenal. Park,
I just feel a little bit like that, a bit like when we finished second under Rafa, and then to go again the next season's a bit like how are we meant to do that again? But they haven't done that twice.
Well, that's the same syndrome with it's Rodgers again, isn't it? He was the same, get to second and the next season he doesn't have any ideas that are different that might make the next step.
Yeah.
But this is the kind of game for Rodgers that he'll want to be in the shop window. He'll want to show people
at least Leicester have got goal scorers in the team. That's the thing against Chelsea. I think chances are few and far between. Got a very good defence and the goalie's been excellent. He's probably been the best goalie in form in the league this season. So I think that they've got goal, at least Vardy and Dacha look like they're dangerous at times as well. And
Iheanacho madly has turned into a goal scorer in the last 12 months.
Yeah, exactly. So they can hurt Chelsea. If Chelsea go there and win, that's a big marker. On the first game of the weekend, and just go to Leicester away and just win it, it's huge. But yeah, that's one, like you mentioned before, when you're looking at Chelsea's fixtures, it's one where you think, hopefully that's one for us there.
Yeah, definitely. Newcastle host Brentford, Burnley host Palace, Steven Gerrard's first game in charge hosting Brighton. There, we did a good old chat about Stevie on the podcast this week, but Dad, again, that's another one that obviously it's kicking off it's kicking off before our game. We'll have every Liverpool fan in the world will have one eye on that just to get a glimpse
of what
Gerrard's
doing. It's going to be
interesting
because he's been managing up in Scotland, and I think even a team like Brighton are a different kettle of fish to what he's been facing.
Brighton have pissed it over. They'd be very much near the top of it anyway, league. So,
can you go more than invincible?
Super invincible. But yeah, I'm looking forward to how he is. I've been very impressed with him so far, like how he's spoken and stuff. And I think there's been too much focus of it from a Liverpool angle. And I think he was good the other day to try and dampen that down. He was like, why ask me about Liverpool? I'm the Aston Villa manager. I think about Liverpool when we're going there to play them and try and take 3 points off them.
Yeah.
I think I've always liked the way he's handled himself as a manager ever since the second he walked into Rangers. He's got that down for him. It's, again, I hope he wins.
Incredible video of him seeing the picture of the Queen.
Nearly laughing.
Yeah. Watford hosting United, Dad. You know, the Ole Gunnar Solskjaer circus rolls on. Ranieri. It'd be interesting because, you know, Man United, again, as always on paper, should be absolutely battering Watford everywhere. But it'd be interesting to see him come up against a better manager and whether he can engineer something.
Well, I mean, he's... They've still got good away form, United. You would always back them to win away from home. Watford are actually rubbish, aren't they? You know, absolute rubbish. So I expect United will probably win that. But then they play Chelsea next, is it, after that? So I think they're going to get battered by Chelsea.
I was going to make a comment here because Wolves hosting West Ham. So Wolves are rubbish. And then I just thought, let me just quickly check that because I haven't looked at the league table beyond the top five. And they're in eighth, actually, at the moment. So that was quietly, it's quietly crept up on me.
In the corner, Wolves, they were terrible to start with and have got better.
Yeah, they haven't lost in the last four, so that's an interesting one again for them. For them going into that one, as a possibility they might do something to West Ham, but at this point we'll just have to kind of hope.
Well,
and see
they
what
won't
happens.
Be phased by corners like we were.
Fingers crossed. Norwich hosts Southampton. Ooh, big one in the old relegation battle there. Well,
Dean Smith is going to be managing against the same team.
Yeah, same Southampton. He got beat by Southampton at Villa, didn't he? That led to the sack, and he's going to play them. First
manager to ever in the same season to face the same team twice in consecutive weeks. There you go.
Incredible. There you go. Good fact.
I mean, he lost last time, so that's too many favours,
yeah,
on it.
Yeah. Well, he'll have a good, clear picture of what they do.
It'd be
right?
Funny if he got sacked straight after losing.
No. We've made
that
a mistake
would be
here.
Oh, God. What have we done?
Sacked by two teams in two consecutive games. We're half five on the Saturday with Arsenal. Sunday sees Man City host Everton. I have no expectations of Everton Football Club anymore, other than them just to slowly, inexorably slip off a cliff into a pit of misery. However, it is Rafa. The one thing they can do is organise a defence. One thing we know City do have is lacking a little is goal threat.
He's
this season.
He's played them before as well, so he knows what he's going to face.
Everton can't score goals at the minute.
Yeah,
they need Calvert-Lewin back. They're so bad up front.
Yeah, the one thing they've got they might be able to take heart from is that the approach Everton had, I think, against United at Old Trafford, like miles difference in quality between United and City, but they kept going and they created opportunities, and if only they didn't have a forward who was about a stone overweight and
you've done a favour there.
If you can have anti-pace again, you know that's what they've got him on. They might, you know, have him. I mean, I don't know where. I guess Richarlison. But there's a point again. I'm speaking in pure optimism.
Everton's set up for Calvert-Lewin, isn't it?
Yeah,
they bought players especially for him, and of course he's not fit.
Yeah. So they have to go and get Rondon. Yeah.
Tottenham host Leeds. Be interesting again to see what Spurs and Antonio Conte can do there against Leeds United, who've just seemingly evaporated this season. But there you go. Yeah, that is the fixtures. What do you think is the standout? Do you think there's a chance that any of Liverpool's rivals will drop points there? Let us know in the comments. Right, back to the Reds. Liverpool, Arsenal, 5:30 Saturday. Dad, what's the score?
2-0.
2-0 to Liverpool. Stay home.
3-1 to Liverpool.
I think it... What I want it to be is a comprehensive 2-0 just game of footy, where you play quite well. A bit like Atletico, you know, where maybe you could score more, but really, it's a clean sheet's massive for me in this one. Just go and shore it up and put a message. But I do have a sneaky feeling it could end up being a mad, like, 3-2 style thing, where we're 2 up, they get back to 2 or... Because what one thing I think we're lacking this season is magic. I don't mean, like, in terms of good football. I mean that sprinkling of fairy dust that defines a season sometimes. So you think about Villa Park in the title-winning season where we just crop up with two really late goals to win it. We haven't had that yet this year. And I don't want us to have to do it, but I think you need to show you've got different sort of strings to your bow. And I don't know whether
this
needs
Saturday,
to be...
though. I don't want
No. But I mean, again, I feel like we need, in the next few weeks, we could really do with showing the world that Liverpool will beat you in 95, 96 minutes if we have to. Not for me heart, by the way, and not for anyone's, you know, happiness. But in terms of like having a let off and all that kind of stuff, it'd be nice to stop the rot. Because I think there's two ways to stop the rot. You just stop conceding goals, or you just score one more than your opponents.
The goal scoring hasn't been an issue, has it, really? We're scoring goals for fun. Mo Salah hasn't scored for a couple of weeks, so that he'll be desperate to put that right. Yeah. So I think we're going to get the Mo Salah show. I'm hoping we're going to get the Mo Salah show. That's what I'm kind of expecting.
Yeah, fingers crossed for that one, certainly. One more super chat from Trig Josh before we go. He says, just behind the scenes stuff, maybe playing pool, maybe rendering clips. I mean, the rendering of clips thing is one of the dullest things. I'm sure Si could, like, he's fallen asleep at the thought of even having people watch that. But yeah, I'm sure we could do some.
We've got TikTok. We've got TikTok now, followers on TikTok, and that's where TikTok Scott, who runs our TikTok, he might be able to get us doing some of the pool or the. What else do we do? We've got a Turtles computer game, maybe playing that.
Yeah, we've got a Turtles arcade machine.
Go and follow us on TikTok. TikTok Scott's all over. He's a good guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know his real name. I just call him TikTok Scott.
That is his name, I think.
Yeah.
If it's not, it will be. TikTok Scott.
TikTok,
yeah. Yeah. It's actually his first name. It's a bit like
that's why he got the job.
Like Madonna.
He was born for it.
yeah, absolutely. We talked about this the other day at the dinner. It was like my RE teacher being called Mrs. Godson. Genuinely, like, you know, if you're born to a role, that was it.
It doesn't bode well for me.
Yes, absolutely. Right, cool. That is it. That is the build-up show. If you do want that full Apo preview with Robbie from Arsenal Fan TV, it is streaming now on Redmen Plus. And as I said, if you want to check it out, it's Freeview Month. So we're giving away a code for you to go and try out everything that we do over on our streaming platform. It is Redmen Plus, one word. If you join up, you create an account, join up at club captain level, and then just put that discount code in, and then you'll get it free for a whole month. And if you don't enjoy it, then sack it off. But if you do, get involved. It's boss. And we've just been doing the schedule for December. We've just done the feature, the Cop Canada feature. So I went over to Vancouver with Chris and partied with Liverpool legends and all kinds. We've done a video feature on that with loads of live music and performances from the likes of the Ragamuffins and Mark Kenny. In December, we've got a feature where we got to explore the derelict Melwood. So since the Reds have moved out, Melwood's just been sat there. So we got to have a little look around. It's all a bit overgrown.
I was there yesterday.
Where?
Had my booster jab there.
Excellent. There you go. It is partially used. It's not totally derelict, but we were in the COVID areas.
The grass is as long as mine.
Yeah. Genuinely. So, yeah, we had a good explore of the derelict Melwood. So that's going out in the first week in December as well. We've got the 50 greatest players of the Liverpool Premier League era, two-part special going out over Christmas, and a jam-packed schedule.
I think we've got nine games in December, so you'll get nine final wins, nine instant-match reactions. Yeah, there's plenty to... Plenty to keep you entertained.
Absolutely. So, yeah, check that out. Redmen Plus, which is on the redmentv.com. Other than that, we will see you all very soon. The watch along to come this weekend. Hope to see us all there. Ta-ra.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.